the fourth largest country in the world has just done a Bitcoin backflip. So for those who don't know, this country is home to the biggest bank in Europe, which has just now done an enormous Bitcoin backflip. This country is also home to the new Michael Saylor copycat, who announced earlier in the week that they were issuing a 33 million euro bond to buy more Bitcoin. This country is also home to the one country that went through hyperinflation exactly 100 years ago in 1924. And this country also has politicians speaking at the Bitcoin conference in Amsterdam, urging its leaders to adopt Bitcoin. So who are we talking about today? Of course, we are talking about the country home to the publicly traded company called Samara Asset Group. And this little publicly traded company out of Germany is going to be making some pretty interesting moves in the Bitcoin space. And today I want to be running the numbers by having a look at the now over 100 publicly traded companies who are buying Bitcoin. Because Samara Group, this German company, which is a multi-billion dollar company, who just made this announcement of buying $33 million of Bitcoin, they are now not the first, they are not the second, they are not even the third. We now have multiple publicly traded companies employing the speculative attack against fiat currency to buy Bitcoin. And I think that it's really poetic that Samara Group is doing this, considering the world's richest man of 1924 actually became Germany's richest man in 1924 by doing exactly what Michael Saylor and the CEO of Samara Asset Group is doing today, borrowing in the weak currency to buy hard assets. So we're going to be telling that story today and having a look at why I think Germany has just made an enormous Bitcoin pivot. So we're going to start with the news of the publicly traded companies first, because I think this is interesting. Most of you guys would have seen this floated on Twitter. The CEO of Samara Asset Group, Patrick Lowry, has said it would be a dream to stack as much Bitcoin as MicroStrategy. Okay, this is huge. This is the tweet. As you can see, we're issuing 30 million euros in bonds to invest in Bitcoin. We are forever hodlers, and we believe technology best drives humanity forward. But it's interesting because this isn't the first time that they've bought Bitcoin. This is the first time the firm has called Bitcoin their primary treasury reserve asset, but they have said that they've been hodling Bitcoin for years and they're now increasing its Bitcoin treasury. Samara wants to hold 1,000 Bitcoin by year's end. Now, again, we've got MicroStrategy, right now a $30 billion-ish company, speculative attack in the dollar. We have Semler Scientific. That was the biotech company we talked about. And we have the CEO, Eric Semler, also borrowing and issuing stock in fiat to buy more Bitcoin. Now we have Samara Group out of Germany doing the same. And we have Metaplanet over in Japan also borrowing in Japanese yen to buy more Bitcoin. Are you guys starting to see the trend that's going on here? Sure, when there's just one publicly traded company doing this, you can ignore it. When there's four borrowing in local fiat to buy more Bitcoin, I don't think we can ignore it any longer. Things are escalating really quickly here. And I find it absolutely fascinating that the CEO of the company is a hardcore Bitcoiner. If you have a look at his takes on Twitter, they're pretty great. As we can see, not sure if it's possible. It'd be a dream to stack as much as Saylor. We can see that these guys are a $2 billion company. Again, think about how big that number is. How big was MicroStrategy when they started employing the Bitcoin speculative attack? They were smaller than that. They were around $1 billion in size when Michael Saylor started doing this. Now, how big is MicroStrategy? It's about $30 billion company. Michael Saylor is more than 25x their company. Samara Asset Group is starting from an even stronger position than where MicroStrategy started. Okay, we're about to see an absolute pileup of leverage. All Night Hider says, carry trade, anyone? Not sure if we're seeing a carry trade in the Bitcoin space, but we are beginning to see a tsunami of leverage in the public corporation space. They are beginning to leverage fiat to the hilt to buy more Bitcoin. So this, of course, is the CEO, Patrick Lowry. Have a look at all of his more recent tweets 3 hours ago. This is fascinating. The dollar has already basically gone to zero. Anyone who says otherwise is lying or ignorant. Opt out with Bitcoin. Again, this is the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company in Germany. This is just what he's tweeting on a lazy Wednesday morning. We're a few months past the most recent halving. ETFs gobbling up billions in Bitcoin. Pro-Bitcoin Trump. Rates will fall, pumping the system with liquidity. How brain dead do you have to be bearish on Bitcoin? And then this is interesting. Now, these are his last three tweets all today. Italy will be raising its capital gains tax on Bitcoin from 26% to 42%. The Italian government is about to learn the hard way that Bitcoin is immobile and refuse to be tax gouged by the state, which will cost them millions of dollars of revenue. Governments never learn. Pretty sound words. And while we're talking about the newest public company CEO to be engaging in a speculative attack, isn't it just poetic that on the same day, today, Metaplanet comes out and they say, yeah, you know what? We've just boosted our Bitcoin holdings by 57 million. Sorry, they boosted their holdings to 57.4 million. Just think about how much Bitcoin is mined each day, guys. Not much. I'm going to do some quick maths for you guys. I know you guys love the quick maths on the live streams. There's 450 Bitcoin mined a day times, let's round up to $68,000 a pop because we did briefly touch 68K a moment ago. So each day there's, is that $30.6 million worth of Bitcoin mined each day? Well, Samara Asset Group came out and announced they were issuing debt to buy $30 million Bitcoin yesterday. That's half the daily supply gone. I don't think a lot of people are really just thinking about how quickly things could really begin to spiral out of control. And while we're talking about Germany, we have a lot more news to talk about in regards to Germany right now. But I do think it's absolutely poetic that exactly 100 years ago, you can see what happened to their fiat currency. Absolutely parabolic chart that is measuring the gold price and the German mark. Parabolic loss of purchasing power. And literally 100 years later, the German government just fumbled the ball and they just sold 50,000 Bitcoin a month or two back now. Think about how the history books will remember this decision by Germany, the country that just seems to want to become the Argentina of Europe. That's right. I think there's an interesting comparison here between Germany and Argentina. Argentina was the richest city of South America. They were nearly the richest city in the world at one point. The capital city, Buenos Aires, is absolutely beautiful. It's gorgeous. What happened? 85 years of socialism and communism, and, well, more specifically, Peronism. That's what happened to Argentina. Stupid policies and stupid decisions that simply are not based on reality. We know that the Argentinian government has defaulted more times than most governments around the world. They've actually defaulted 8 times in the past 100 years. It's incredible. And that's just because of the array of stupid decisions that they've made. Okay. Now, it looks as if Germany, I believe, is doing something very similar. Again, let's think about Germany's track record for the past 2 years. Number one, sold 50,000 Bitcoin for no good reason. Since then, price of Bitcoin is up about 20%. Good way to lose literally probably $1 billion. They've probably already lost $1 billion in a month from that trade. Congratulations. That was stupid decision number one. Stupid decision number two. Kicking out all of your nuclear energy. Germany has shut down all of its nuclear power plants, and all of a sudden it is absolutely decimating their economy. Their economy is in shambles right now. Last time I checked, they're about to be overtaken. They're not going to be the fourth biggest country economically for much longer. And it's all because of these stupid decisions they are making. And I think a lot of these Western nations, to Retro Beaver's comment here in the chat, a lot of these nations will not figure out Bitcoin or economic reality until $1 million a coin because they're too preoccupied making terrible decisions. But this is where I think it's interesting because the private sector is learning much quicker than the public sector. Okay? Private corporations like Samara Group are coming to the realization that they don't want to end up like the companies holding the German mark did in 1924. A $2 billion company says they want to be holding 1,000 Bitcoin by year's end. So this is a private company, private corporation. We also have some pretty interesting news coming out about a globally, systematically important bank called Deutsche Bank. One of the biggest banks in Europe, the 26th biggest bank in the entire world. So again, they are a globally, systematically important bank. I don't think I need to spell that out of just how important that is. It's very important. It's very big. Okay, it means a lot. And more recently, they've been making some, let's call it just really interesting Bitcoin moves. They've been, I'm going to show you the most recent news that I thought that was interesting. And again, this came out of Germany. We're seeing a little bit of, let's say a little bit of German FOMO at the private company level. That's what I find really interesting about today. This, you know, we at the public company level, we have these, you know, just idiotic government decisions. But then privately, at a more grassroots level, we're seeing really bullish things, like a politician, a German parliamentary member, Joanna Kotar. I don't know if I pronounced that name right. She says that if the US starts and buys Bitcoin as a strategic reserve, then I think all the European countries, with a little bit of delay, they will get FOMO. 100% they will. I think we're already starting to see the private sector get FOMO. We could see Deutsche Bank is providing foreign exchange services for crypto market-making firm KeyRock. Now, I would like to remind you guys, these big banks out of Europe have been opposed to Bitcoin for a very, very long time. The fact that they're now having to do a massive 180 pivot, that's signal. JP Morgan has hated Bitcoin for years. Now he's starting to make a bit of a pivot. Same here with Deutsche Bank. I also, when I was really insulting Germany just a moment ago, there's obviously a few other policies I could have named and shamed that Germany has taken that I kind of wanted to stay out of. But CB here in the chat has nailed one of them. Let's just say the Western nations, they're making some poor decisions when it comes to immigration. I think I can say that. That's all I'm going to say. Okay? No, I'm not. You know I can't control myself. Just think about it for a minute. Why do we have the wide open borders in South America? Why? Why are they letting in 10,000 people who aren't getting screened, checked, or having police checks or anything done on them? Why are they being let across the border all day, every day? Same thing all across Europe. Like, again, I don't want to get into specifics, but many of the major countries are seeing this immigration backlash and this immigration crisis. Germany, France, Spain, you're seeing all over Europe. Why? Just simply pull up a map and have a look at which countries have the most debt. That's going to explain everything you need to know about the idiotic immigration policies, the idiotic 2020 policies. Think about who had the most strict draconian lockdowns in 2020? Blue states in America, New Zealand, home of the housing bubble, Australia, Canada, Germany, Austria. Just have a... Oh, France? Of course, France had a little bit of a battle with the population way back in 2020, because what was happening before 2020? The Yellow Vest Movement. You had protests and riots going on in France all 2018, 2019, leading into 2020. Of course, we got the perfect excuse to squash those riots, didn't we? Again, I'm getting sidetracked here, but just think about it. Which countries had the most debt? Which countries had the most stupid, idiotic policies? There's a reason. The lockdowns were so harsh because they need control over the population. They need the population submissive so that they store all of their value in the devaluing fiat currency. And the government is going to extract all of the value out of the lower and the middle class to pay off their massive debt loads. That explains everything you need to know about 2020. What about immigration? What do new people coming into the country do? Let's take it at face value. I'm going to give you a second argument for why I think we could be seeing immigration that's a little bit more tinfoil hat. The first is more straightforward. Not many people can argue with this. More people into the country equals more economic activity, equals more demand for houses, which is obviously essential when you have massive housing bubbles all around the world, and more jobs. It's as simple as that. If you have too much debt, you're going to love more people immigrating to your country. What's the more conspiratorial angle for why we have all of these open border policies? This could be a little bit more tinfoil hat. So again, some people are going to disagree with me here, and that's fine. Disagree with me. But just think about it for a moment. Don't you think if you just let a lot of dangerous, illegal people into the country? Not saying all immigrants are dangerous and illegal. Definitely not saying that. But there'd have to be some. I mean, if you've got 10,000 people streaming across the border in America every day that aren't being checked, you're bound to be letting some pretty desperate, pretty poor people across the border. I'm going to keep it simple. More chaos, more violence, more stealing, and more looting creates more pain for the everyday population, which means they are going to be in favor of more extreme and extreme policies. They're going to be on their knees begging, please, daddy government, come and save me. I want more lockdowns to protect me from the crime. I want more money printed. Because like you say, there's all this violence. I don't know where it's coming from. But you seem to be giving me a solution by saying, hey, just let us print as much money as we want and we'll beef up the police force to protect you. I'm gonna get off that rant, that rabbit hole. I apologize to the 402 of you guys in the chat today. If you enjoyed the rant, you can smash the like button. We'd appreciate that. Hopefully more people will wake up to what I think is just common sense. That's why I'm a little bit frustrated today. I apologize. I do think it's very obvious why we're seeing immigration, but it's an absolutely beautiful thing that we're seeing some of the biggest banks and, you know, the biggest corporations in the private sector beginning to adopt Bitcoin. And that's why I believe, that's what I believe we're seeing in Germany right now. This is an article out of Deutsche Bank. Again, Germany's largest bank. I could potentially see Bitcoin to become a 21st century gold. No, I'm not BSing you. That is literally what they say. They have a video here on the website from one of their staff. I'm not going to play the whole thing for you. I'm trying to keep it super quick, super brief, but they have a little bit of a Bitcoin 101 here on their website. Pretty fascinating. Will CBDCs replace cash and or cryptos? I don't think so. This is what, again, Deutsche Bank is saying, a globally systematically important bank. Most G20 countries plan to impose stricter regulations on private cryptocurrencies. Again, these guys, they're not stupid. They know what's coming. This is why we're seeing publicly traded companies in Germany get out and buy. Today, $33 million bond issued to buy more Bitcoin. This is why we're beginning to see Deutsche Bank come out and not only partner up with crypto firms, but come out and say Bitcoin could be digital gold, 21st century gold. Deutsche Bank has also, earlier in the year, this is June, they expanded a partnership with Bitpanda, another company in the space. Okay, we are beginning to see dominoes fall. Again, this is for those who want to know. Deutsche Bank is the 26th largest bank in the world. Total assets sitting at, I believe that is $1.45 trillion. It's enormous. It's massive. And they are a globally systematically important bank. Again, this is a Wikipedia article backing that up. Systematically important financial institutions. There's a big list of them. And here are some pretty names. These are some big names that you'd recognize. Bank of America, Bank of China, the Bank of New York Mellon, BNP Paribas in France, France's largest bank, Barclays, the UK's largest bank. And I have highlighted here Deutsche Bank, ranked more highly than Goldman Sachs and HSBC and Morgan Stanley. These are an enormous bank. Okay, guys. The fact that they're dipping their toes into Bitcoin is absolutely fascinating. But it's not only them dipping their toes into Bitcoin. As we said earlier in the live stream, we now have four public companies that I'm aware of that are above $50 million of market cap that are right now engaged in a speculative attack against fiat currency to buy Bitcoin. Samara Group, MicroStrategy, Semler Scientific, and Metaplanet. All above $50 million market caps. But we also have this list of companies over here who are also squatting on Bitcoin on the balance sheet. Maybe, just maybe, this is why the fourth largest country in the world is beginning to wake up to Bitcoin and beginning to make, let's say, a little bit of a Bitcoin pivot. Now, what's really fascinating, we can see Tesla on this list here. It's interesting because there's rumors circulating that Tesla may or may not be selling their Bitcoin. They moved some Bitcoin today, which is fascinating, just before their earnings call next week. We might talk about that in a future video for you guys, but have a look at some of the names squatting on Bitcoin right now. MicroStrategy, 252,000 coins. Marathon, 26,000 coins, big drop-off. Riot Platforms, 10,000 coins. Tesla, as of yesterday, 9,000 coins. Who knows how much they're sitting on right now? I think the one thing we can be sure of, though, is that some pretty big players are slowly but surely really waking up to Bitcoin in a big way. And they're saying, enough is enough. I want a little piece of financial sovereignty. It's time. I think everybody needs to get a little bit more financial sovereignty. Okay, again, today we've talked a lot about the banks. We try not to talk about the banks too much. But again, please, we want to remind you guys, Bitcoin doesn't need the banks. The bankers need Bitcoin. It's as simple as that. Please do not trust these banks with your Bitcoin when they allow you custody for the Bitcoin, because they're going to be doing that in the not too distant future. That is definitely going to be coming. We always encourage you guys to self-custody your Bitcoin. Put it in a hardware wallet. Doesn't matter what hardware wallet you put your Bitcoin on. As long as it's Bitcoin only, there's a ton of great ones out there. And the same with backing up your Bitcoin. Once you put it into a hardware wallet, we always encourage you guys to back it up onto something that's actually going to survive generations. Again, lots of great options out there. You can use stainless steel. You can use, you know, $5, you know, knives that you can buy from Kmart with stainless steel and an engraving pen. I did that 4 years ago. I learned the hard way that was potentially not the best way to back it up. But again, I always encourage you guys to back up your Bitcoin on titanium. You can do that with these sexy little plates. Oh, look at that. It's upside down. You can get these plates with 12, 24 words on it from Stampseed. These are titanium. So these are better than stainless steel for backing up your Bitcoin. So again, check out everything Stampseed is doing. If you've got a hardware wallet, just go the extra step, go the extra mile. It's not that hard to back up your Bitcoin correctly and be fully self-sovereign. Okay, you can get 15% off anything you want to buy from Stampseed with that promo code Luke15. And please, if you do, go ahead and back up your Bitcoin correctly. Please do not put this in the same location as your hardware wallet. Even though in a hypothetical bad event of a hurricane, a flood, or a fire, if you have a hardware wallet, you know, sitting right next to your titanium plate in a safe, yes, your plate is going to survive the house fire and your hardware wallet probably won't. But what if a robber comes in? This is why I always encourage you guys, think about your Bitcoin security more seriously. Split up your Bitcoin hardware wallet away from your backup phrase. Think about it. Under duress, you can just give them your hardware wallet. Here, take it. There's my PIN code. Go on. Go and do what you want with my Bitcoin. I don't care. Little do they know, you could have a backup somewhere else in the home that you could quickly load onto a mobile wallet and move your Bitcoin from that wallet. Okay, I'm going to quickly answer a question about hot wallets. Hodlin Chris, thank you for the super chat, my friend. $2 super chat. Appreciate that. Goes a long way. I don't know if you guys know or not, but I got a hefty bill the other day in the, we'll call it the Peruvian mail, when somebody stole my camera bag. Camera, microphones, gonzo. You guys will notice I've actually got a different microphone. Check that out. If you go back a couple of weeks, I had a very different microphone. But again, that was $4,000 gone. So we appreciate all of the little help. $2 for super chats really helps. So we appreciate that. And we're always trying to bring you guys the best quality audio, video, all that stuff. CB says he would consider storing Bitcoin in MicroStrategy Bank. Yeah, I'd put 5% of my Bitcoin stack in MicroStrategy. Again, you know, 5% is 5%. Wouldn't be putting 50%. Sure, 5%, you want to lend against it. Take the risk. I wish I was young. I'm nearly 28. And I'm looking a lot older than that recently. Traveling ages you. Thank you, Ricky. There is. I think we are a little bit more rare being 20s in Bitcoin. There's not a whole lot of young people in Bitcoin. I do think Bitcoin is boomer money. I've said that so many times before. Bitcoin is boomer money. Bitcoin is for the boomers. So many people think Bitcoin is just new tech. It's just for the young people. I disagree. I strongly think it is for. It's for, obviously Bitcoin is for everyone, every demographic in every country around the world, even the very last person who ever adopts Bitcoin, and they'll be the last person on a Bitcoin standard. They are going to be better off than everyone today on a fiat standard. But I do think Bitcoin is boomer money. Holy shit. EKZ, dude, thank you so much for the $50 super chat. That's nuts. Dude, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate that. Damn. As a Peruvian, I feel obligated. Dude, you certainly do not need to ever feel obligated. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Got goosebumps. No one's ever sent a $50 super chat before. So thank you so much for the kind words. I freaking love your country, dude. Even though I got rolled for a $4,000 camera the other day in Starbucks in the middle of the day. Believe it or not, that is exactly what happened. I've got the videos and I'm making a video for you guys to post this week. I still freaking love Peru. It's a very amazing country. So thank you, EKZ. Dude, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Elaine, if boomers don't get into Bitcoin, they'll be hurting. Couldn't agree more. Boomers have so much wealth. I might get Rajat Soni on the live stream if you guys want to hear from him. He's an interesting Canadian Bitcoin. I'm back. Did I accidentally just leave the 507 of you guys in the live stream today? I think I pressed the wrong button. I apologize about that. Not going to leave it that quickly. I still want to answer a few of these comments. I want to hear you guys. What do you think about Germany getting into Bitcoin? Fourth biggest country in the world. Will the public sector be obligated to adopt Bitcoin? Because we're beginning to see all of the private sector interest in Bitcoin, Deutsche Bank, politicians, like we showed you at the Bitcoin conference, and obviously this, you know, $2 billion publicly traded company buying $33 million of Bitcoin and announcing they want to buy 1,000 this year, 1,000 Bitcoin. Again, if you missed that, if you did join this live stream late, you can rewind and check out all of that stuff. Kevin O'Donnell, the truth will get you canceled. Eventually, the truth will get me canceled. That's why I have a school community. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's like a little private community where we do live streams and stuff like that. Subscribe to that. It's free. It's linked down below in the description. if you want to find me once I get cancelled, or the email, I have a free email. So again, I want to always be able to reach you guys. If the truth does get me cancelled one day, I'm assuming it will, which is why I'm focusing on so many other platforms like Nosta, Twitter. Again, let's be very clear. Nosta is my favorite out of all of these platforms in regards to censorship resistant. I've had British Hoddle on a couple of times on the channel. I'd love to get him back. Link to my school communities down below in the chat. Check that out. The Canadian BTC dude is Rajat. I can't pronounce his name. Rajat. I don't know, but he's a really cool Bitcoiner. He's a very smart dude. I apologize for butchering your name, dude. Escape the Matrix has been a boomer. He's been into Bitcoin for 10 years. There you have it. Wisdom. Boomers have wisdom. They adopted Bitcoin a lot earlier than me. 2014. That's early. Super early. All right. Is that a sign? My other microphone went flat. Is that a sign to end this stream? Maybe it is. With all that said, guys, there's 533 of you guys. Oh, I can't leave yet. Domingo says, never answered the question about the hot wallet. Thank you for the $2 super chat. Producer Pam is telling me that I've got the all clear. I have my audio back. I apologize about that. So hot wallets. Let's talk about hot wallets. For me personally, I don't like to have more than $2,000 in a hot wallet. I think it makes sense once you get above $1,000 of Bitcoin, $2,000 of Bitcoin. I think it makes sense to make a $100 investment, go get a hardware wallet, upgrade your Bitcoin security. Okay, hot wallets are not as safe as hardware wallets. You have a hot wallet, like a Blue Wallet or a Wallet of Satoshi on your mobile phone, and that mobile phone is connected to Wi-Fi. It's connected to the internet. If you're walking through public malls and connecting to any public mall Wi-Fi or a McDonald's Wi-Fi, you could get your Bitcoin wallet hacked because your phone that has your Bitcoin wallet on it is connected to a public internet server. And most people's home servers are honestly not as safe as they think it is. Okay. So for me personally, I think there was a day where I was freaking out about my Bitcoin security and I was doing things that I would never do personally. I think I had about 15% of my Bitcoin stack on a hot wallet and I couldn't sleep that night. I stayed up very late until I, you know, ensured that my Bitcoin setup was safe and secure. I didn't have that much Bitcoin or hot wallet. So I was sweating bullets with 15 to 20% of my Bitcoin stack on a hot wallet at home. I hope that's some insights into that question. I hope that was the question about the hot wallets, Domingo. I don't like to use hot wallets. I like to think of them as, you know, I like to think of hot wallets as, you know, the wallets that you carry with your shops to, your physical wallets with your physical cash in it. All right. I only keep so much cash in my physical wallet that I'd be comfortable losing. Okay, I've scrolled through the whole chat. I think that was a question about hot wallets. Please let me know if I didn't answer it, and I'll quickly rehash it for you. Again, I really do. Dude, you didn't have to send me another super chat. You already sent me $2, dude. You didn't have to send me another $5, Domingo. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so I, again, could not recommend enough the fact that you invest into a cold wallet. And again, I'm here. You just gave me a $5 super chat. I'll show you where I go to set up my hardware wallets whenever I buy a new one. I apologize, my laptop's super slow. There's 540 of you guys slowing down the live stream. Slowing down my computer, I should say, sorry. Not the live stream. Let me find a YouTube tab. Okay, let's go here. Now I'm going to show you where I go to set up a Bitcoin hardware wallet. Stream's gone long. We got a massage soon. Producer Pam and I have got to get out of here eventually. We got a massage here in Peru. So if you guys need any help setting up a Bitcoin hardware wallet, this is the first place you go. BTC Sessions. hardcore Bitcoiner, incredible Bitcoiner, met him in person a number of times, incredible guy, incredible Bitcoiner. He has the best tutorials when it comes to Bitcoin hardware wallets. Elaine says that a Jade is a great cold wallet. I love Jades. I think they're a great cold wallet. I've personally never used a Trezor. I have used a cold card. I own a cold card personally for a portion of my stack. Cold cards are great. They're really good. They're for advanced users. A Jade wallet or a Trezor is probably good for, smaller Bitcoin amounts. Bitboxes are also good. I believe I've even got an affiliate link for a Bitbox in the description. You guys can get $5 off if you want to get one of those. But I really like Jades, Bitboxes, and Jade Bitboxes. There's another Bitcoin-only hardware wallet that I'm forgetting. Anyway, I'm forgetting it. But as long as it's open source, Bitcoin-only, check it out. For the more advanced users, I recommend Cold Cards. They're super cool. I got Cold Card. I love it. I've had a Ledger previously. This was like 4 or 5 years ago when I still had some shitcoin in blood in me. And so I had a Ledger and they were fine. They're easy to use. But again, I don't trust them. I don't trust the CEO speaking at the World Economic Forum. I don't trust their new announcements of Ledger Recover that openly says on their website that if subpoenaed, they will hand over your Bitcoin private keys to a government entity. That's what Ledger Recover is. Do not use it. Okay? Had a Ledger, switch to Jade. Great stuff, Elaine. Couldn't agree more. I think that's a great move. Domingo, definitely check out Jade. And thank you so much for the kind words and the 2 super chats, dude. I really appreciate that. My favorite Peruvian Bitcoiner, EK Zit, says, completely agree. Carrying Bitcoin on a wallet on your phone is not the best option. So there you have it. It's not just me and my tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. Oh, BitKey. BitKey is a new Bitcoin-only hardware wallet from... I haven't used it yet. So Steven's saying, check that out. Check it out. Jade, to your question, Ricky, Jade is a little bit easier to use. I've set a family and a friend member up on a Jade. They love it. And I believe you can roll dice on any hardware wallet to create your own Bitcoin private key. Oh, why do I keep forgetting about Foundation? Yeah, Foundation, great Bitcoin-only hardware wallet. Check them out. They're great. So Jade is a more user-friendly hardware wallet, to question Ricky. Cold Card's a little bit more advanced. You can roll dice with either of those hardware wallets. For those who don't know, all hardware wallets will spit you out a 12 or a 24 word Bitcoin backup phrase, a Bitcoin private seed phrase that should be backed up correctly on Titanium. Now they use that, they do that using a random number generator. Okay. Some people like myself are a little bit more, let's say, tinfoil hat minded. You can actually create your own 12 or 24 word Bitcoin passphrase. Bitcoin private keys by simply rolling dice 100 times. Sounds like a long endeavor, but you can hold 10 dice in one hand and just roll 10 dice. I think I did it with 5. So I went 5, 5, 5, 5. I rolled it like 20 times. And you can generate enough entropy that way to convert all of the numbers that you have into a Bitcoin private key. You do the same with dice flips from memory. Don't take my word at that. I've never used dice flips. I have used dice. Dice though. I don't want to scare you, but I do recommend you getting a cold wallet, Domingo. Definitely go get a cold wallet. I've personally got, I don't know. I've got the large majority of my Bitcoin stack on a cold wallet. It would have to be above 95%. Stored in locations that I can't access it. That's also an important caveat if you're traveling. 39 minutes long. I apologize. There's 590 of you guys in the chat. Thank you so much for everyone who tuned in. Really appreciate all of you guys. Ton of questions today. I appreciate all of the questions. I appreciate the super chats. Thank you so much, Hodling Chris, Domingo for the 3 super chats, and EK Zit, my new favorite Peruvian Bitcoiner. I really appreciate all of the love that you guys send us here on the YouTube channel. Really appreciate it. Hope you guys enjoy the content. Hope you learned something from that 39 minute and 48 second rant from me. I apologize. I'm going to sign off. I'm going to go get a massage and eat some eggs and steak. I hope you guys.